You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, new edition of Kicking It. We are joined by a World Cup champ, two-time World Cup champ, actually, NWSL champ, Ali Krieger. So good to have you with us. CBS Sports analyst as well.
Yes.
Newly signed to the TV world. Welcome to the family. We're very happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So you've got a lot of new stuff going on with the TV and everything. What about the football, though? You're retired. Are you missing it already, or are you just enjoying this period of time away from football a little bit?
I know I'm going to miss it at some point, but right now I think it's just like too soon. And I'm still kind of processing the win and, you know, retirement and kind of finishing out. But I've been so busy, so I think I haven't really had time to process all of that. I'm sure you all can relate, but
how long did it take you guys to miss it?
Well, it's different. Yeah, she went out a champion. I hobbled out.
I was like, lose my number. Yeah.
I hobbled out and said, hey, you can't come back. She made the choice to leave.
Yeah, like, my body just couldn't do it anymore. So it's one of those, I felt relief.
Yeah.
Because it's a grind.
It is.
In my case in particular, I felt like I had to, my trainings felt like games, the way I had to get up for it and prepare.
Right.
And then my body would break down and I'm all sore the next day. And, you know, coaches are pushing you, trying to get more minutes. Yeah. And it just was a horrible cycle for that last season that I played. So, like, does your body feel up for it? Like, if you wanted to play another season, could you?
I could. But last season, I was having little, like, muscle strains and little injuries here and there, and I couldn't play every single game. And that's kind of when I knew, along with, you know, running beside and chasing down 20-year-olds, I'm like, all right, what is going on? Like, I need to get out of here. They weren't beating me, though. They weren't beating me too often. But I could play another year. I just think that the youngins can step up and take over, and it's time. Yeah, you just, my body, too. It's definitely, it's not worth pushing it through that, you know, physical, you know, stress, I guess.
What do you look back and think the game gave you?
Lifelong friendships, honestly. You know, yes, with all the success and the accolades and the championships and things, but walking away, you know, a champion, but also these lifelong friendships that I value and that I can carry on through the rest of my life, because you endure so much mentally, physically, emotionally that and it's such a grind, and you have to be your best every day. You have to perform at this, like, highest level every day. And if you don't bring that, someone else is right behind you, ready to, like, step into your shoes. And so with that, your teammates and they become your friends, but they're the only ones that understand what you go through. And so you build these bonds that are, like, unbreakable. And over the years, you kind of are the only ones that really understand, you know, that environment and that culture. I think over, you know, that's what I'm most proud of. It's just like having and sharing these experiences with people who I really love and you know, have strong friendships with.
Were you surprised at how many people came to your side to support you throughout your career? Because, you know, in my case, I had a car accident and there were a lot of people around me, but then they disappeared. They weren't there for me in some of those moments. Other people were, and those are the people that are still in my life, but I was shocked to see some of the people I thought would be ride or die, they no longer were by my side or supporting me or felt like I had their support.
Mm.
And in her case, I know she's been through some ups and downs before this final season, and everyone, it felt like, came out to be like, Ali Krieger's the best, I'm here for you.
Yeah.
And I was even moved by it emotionally.
Thank you. Yeah. But like I said before, those bonds are so important. And I think us as, you know, women too, I think we share such a unique bond. And I don't know, it makes me emotional because we've gone through so much, both privately and professionally together, that we're able to have these deep conversations with each other day in and day out. And we're not being judged for it. And it's, you know, yeah, we are in these like uncomfortable situations, but we all, you know, share how we're really feeling. And I think that's maybe the next layer to our friendship, and not just on the field. Like what you see and what all the fans and supporters see is, yeah, okay, they're good footballers and they're winning and they're successful. But then off the field, it's like we go through some shit. And you all know that, but we all share that with each other. We have these deep conversations that I think, you know, grow that bond even more. And I think that's why maybe they were even more supportive outwardly. And also people understand between right and wrong, you know, and I think that's important too in the situations that we've been in over the years.
How did you find it over these last seasons to balance personal life and football in terms of being a mom, having two kids? Like just the other day, right, you were talking about, I respect full-time moms so much, like it's just an incredible job.
Yeah. That should be a salaried job. I promise you.
How did you find that, creating that balance?
It's really hard. It's really hard. Luckily, I, you know, had help. And, you know, even on trips, I'd bring the kids. Not every trip, because I do want to focus, but even to the semifinal in Portland, I brought the kids just to have that experience, and it's a lot. But having them around the team helps too, because the other women on the team, they want to like help and you know, hang out with the kids, so that makes it fun and easy. But I want to, you know, integrate them as much as possible and get them used to traveling and get them used to just like different experiences and be around such powerful, beautiful women is you know, it can only help them grow. Mm-hmm. And so that was also one of the reasons. But yeah, it is difficult to balance because I'm having to get up in the morning. I have to take them to school or to daycare. And then from there, I go right to training. You have your meetings, you train, you have your meetings after training, you have recovery, you have treatment, you have all the things. I mean, it's a 24-hour job.
And then I got to make sure. I want to take a nap.
Yeah, I want to come home, but I mean, it's already 3 and I got to go pick up the kids. It's like, or 4. And I'm like, oh, I got to go get Sloan already. And, you know, so it's just a nonstop thing
during
the week.
A lot of working moms I know exist with a kind of like a constant sense of guilt.
Yeah, I do have mom guilt at times because you want to do all the things and you want to play and you want to continue working. And but also on the other hand of that, I'm like, I'm showing her that I'm loving what I do and I'm working hard at something and I want to be successful, and that hopefully will encourage her and motivate her to want to do the same. So there's like a balance in that too. But yeah, I have mom guilt sometimes too. And I'm like, I want to go to a dinner.
You might miss their first steps being at a game.
I missed her second birthday because we had preseason last year. And I'm sitting there thinking like, all right, well, let's just FaceTime and have a little party. You know, it's like, okay. But sometimes it's like, that's what you have to do for, you know, to keep a roof over their head, really.
How does 6 kids sound to you? Is that something that could be in your future?
I was like, I don't think that's for me.
Hey, how does having a hat from Goodwill sound to you?
But I support you. I support you.
He's been sitting on that one.
Oh, he has been. He's been waiting to drop that.
Now the tables have turned, Kate.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Can I ask what age your kids were when you adopted them?
Yeah, right at birth.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, Ocean. We adopted him 2 weeks later just to make sure everything was signed and sealed with the birth parents. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but mm-hmm. we were at her birth, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and almost like received her. We were in
That's
like,
a different experience.
Yeah, like 20 minutes in after she was born.
Did you feel that
Because obviously, if you're carrying the child, you're expected to bond and for that to grow. Mm-hmm. As soon as you received the baby, did you feel that bond, or does it take time when you're an adoptive parent for that to grow?
It was a mix. Like, it was just like a wow experience, kind of just like, I can't believe we're in this room right now, and like, she's right there, and they're doing all the tests with her and everything, and you feel a part of it. Like, you feel like she's yours, but nothing was signed yet, and you have like 48 hours to wait. From in Florida.
Is that how that works?
Not in every state.
Okay.
But in Florida, the birth mom has 48 hours to decide if she is still going to give her up for adoption or keep her.
Okay.
And so at that time, we were still kind of on pins and needles waiting. And so it was a really stressful moment. You know, you think she is yours, but then you're like, okay, I gotta just relax
a little
bit.
I gotta hold off
and not get too attached because it's just almost impossible. But yeah, it wasn't official. Mm-hmm. And so after the 48 hours, then when things were official, we were like, okay, this is now setting in. And when we took her home, it was then, lights
Very
out.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Did you guys get to be at your children's birth?
I was at everyone.
All six?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was able to be there for all of them. And yeah, you can't describe that feeling of when you actually hold them and then the responsibility that you have knowing forward that for the rest of your life, you know, you're going to take care of them. But I can't even imagine what you had to go through in terms of not knowing, is everything signed and sealed? And you know, you've got this beautiful baby that you've been looking forward to having and being a mom and being able to take care of them and have all these special moments, but not knowing at that one moment that it could be taken back. So I can't even imagine what that must have been like for you.
Yeah.
How's it going to work on the other side in terms of when do you think it's going to be that right moment to tell your kids about?
Yeah, I thought about that, right? Because it's like
I'm not being funny, but they must, well, not at this point, but they're going to know at some point pretty quickly that they're not your birth children,
right? For sure, yeah, for sure. It's not right now, but soon. I do want to be super open and honest with my kids about that. And I also want to, you know, maybe start some type of therapy sessions for them too, because the last thing I want them to feel is abandonment and not feeling accepted and that, you know, so that's something that I think we're gonna try to, you know, have a better approach on and make sure that they have everything they need to, you know, feel valued and appreciated and loved just as much as you would if you came from.
Is it hard to know how to handle the race issue, right? Mm-hmm. Because raising children, African-American children in America is a responsibility.
Right.
It's something that obviously you've not had to go through personally, mm-hmm. right? So how do you kind of consider that responsibility?
For sure. Before we signed up for the adoption process, we said any race, any gender. And it just so happened that, you know, Ocean and Sloan were the children that, you know, actually, their birth moms chose us.
So that's not a selection that you make.
Okay. That we were open to any gender, any race.
Okay.
And then that was just, you know, basically they chose us, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's always work that's going to have to be done. Mm-hmm. And I need to put in the work in order to make sure that I am a parent to them that can hopefully make sure that they will have a good understanding of who they are and where they come from and have all the tools to not tell them what to do or how to do it, but to help them figure it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I need to make sure that I'm doing my work, educating myself, mm-hmm. I'm asking the right questions, I'm taking these courses, I'm learning from my best friends. I'm just putting energy into learning about how to help navigate us as a family in America. And that will be consistent throughout the rest of my life for them and for me.
I think it's dope that you're, first of all, you've taken on that responsibility. I'm raising mixed race kids.
Yeah.
Their Mexican side, I will never ever be able to speak to because I've never experienced that.
Right.
But I still similarly want them to grow up embracing every bit of who they are,
mm-hmm.
celebrating every bit of who they are. And I just want to say that it's a lot of respect that you are being proactive. And because as Kate said, it's a challenge. And it's a massive responsibility, you know what I mean? And so Sloan, Ocean, they're going to grow up in an environment, in a world where they're being bred to have success. And that's a big part of that is thanks to you.
Yeah. And I just want them to be happy, healthy. I want them to be strong and kind. and brave. And so, yeah, I need to make sure I'm doing the work in order to help them, you know, yeah, find themselves.
Are you gonna make them play soccer? Because we have this debate all the time about our kids.
I signed Sloan up for soccer. It's soccer shots right now. But then I spoke to our GM at the club, and I was like, listen, what club do I need to be getting her into? Because she actually loves it. She loves going to mommy's games. And, you know, we'll practice in the house now. And she's got a good left foot, actually.
Okay.
So I'm like, listen. Yeah, we can go somewhere with that. A lot of teams are looking for
that. Listen, she need an agent. I mean.
Yeah, right? But yeah, I won't force them, no. But I think, you know, Ocean will be a little running back. He's like he's our little athlete. He's for sure just like tough as nails. She, you know, we can work on her athleticism a little bit. Sometimes she'll just trip in the middle of the house and
she's
I'll be
three,
like, all
right.
Yeah, but like.
She got tired.
Yeah, that's the same with my three-year-old. He trips everywhere.
I'm like,
he's clumsy.
What is going on?
They got to grow into their body.
All jokes aside, I'm not going to force him, but I'm going to force him.
He's like fell three times and like busted his chin open.
It's too good.
Just falling over his own feet.
Yeah.
These two are already experiencing like coaching their kids.
Yeah.
I haven't really experienced that yet, so I'm like listening to them, trying to get advice, like what's the best approach.
I'm parent coaching.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Which is like,
I'm trying to get.
I can't find that balance.
No.
I'm trying to get
like,
advice.
We're doing this, do it. Like, let's win.
Because
he said he had a buddy, he says, got four things for you. Did you have fun? I was like, I got three things for you. Did we win?
Right.
That's fun for me.
No. Listen, my question is for you, because your dad coached, right?
Yeah, my dad coached me my whole youth, yeah.
Right, so I'm curious like what approach he took with you, because he helped to produce world-class athlete.
He molded me into a good player at such a young age. I was like 7 years old, and we're doing like 1-2s, you know, with like my club team, and we're winning like, you know, state championships and regional championships. Like but also I credit the players who were also on my team, because like I wasn't the best player on my team,
right.
And so they made me better. So I was lucky that like, you know, those girls showed up every day wanting to like play and have the same mentality, really.
Yeah.
But my dad, I think, instilled that in us too. So yeah,
we were like,
he was hard on me, and it was hard to separate sometimes dad and coach.
Yeah.
At home, I was like,
often
okay.
Did you practice at
home? I was like, can I just get my dad? I just need like a hug and not like be hard on me. You know, I carried my own bag, my own water bottle, and he was like, you'll figure it out.
But it has to be a difficult position to be in, be coaching your kids, because it's the nepotism of either we're gonna do two things. Either one, be easier on your kid, or be more difficult on your kid. It sounded like you had to deal with more difficult on
I was like, okay, dad. He'd be like, get on the line. No. I'd be like, I don't know. I knew he was trying to get the best out of me. He could like demand a lot, because like, you know, I was willing to do the work. But I mean, at times I was just like, can we just like play a game and like have like a shooting game and just like have fun and chill? But it was always like serious, and then towards the end of training it got easier, but then the rides home sometimes I was
the rides home for me is when I got it. That's when I was, there was no escaping it, you know.
Right.
If I'm at the field, I can, I'll be right back, I'm gonna go play over here and go play with my friends or whatever. You in the car, seatbelts on, you ain't going
truck,
nowhere.
And I'd be like, can I actually just sit in the back, and like you would just drive
in
me
the
home
bed of the truck.
Sometimes I can just chill. Right, I'm like, I'm gonna sit back here with the balls and all the gear, and you can just, you know, do but
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I feel like when you're getting divorced, it can take a long time, because obviously you're getting divorced because there are negative things that have happened, or the way the relationship has kind of gone in a negative direction. It can take a long time to get to a point that you can say, okay, this was a negative end, but actually we had X amount of really great years and I still cherish that time.
Yeah.
Somehow in the moment of the divorce, it kind of tarnishes everything.
Yeah.
It's a grieving process,
It is a grieving process, and I saw more good times than bad, for sure, or else I wouldn't have been in something for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely saw a lot of the good. But unfortunately, life happens and things happen, and now I feel like the universe sent me a gift, like I said before, and I'm gonna take it. And
do you feel ready to move forward?
Yeah, I think rejection is also projection. So I'm ready to move forward into this next phase with my kids and...
Are you open to dating yet?
I am.
Yes?
I am.
Okay, you asked all the questions.
It can take a minute to feel ready for that.
Keep certain things private.
Sorry. Okay.
It's okay. And I might be like opening up to 100% of the population, not just 50 at this time.
I got some friends that might be submitting some applications.
Surprise. No. I'm actually just open. I'm just being open, and I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm working on that a lot. Mm-hmm. And through therapy, it's definitely helped me, have a new perspective. And I just want to be happy.
Does that feel like a scary idea, though, opening back up in that way?
It does, because I was so hurt. And only 6 months ago. Uh-huh. And I never thought that my life would take this type of turn. But I'm ready to continue to heal. Mm. I'm ready to be this new version of myself. Definitely leaving that version who had to kind of get through that war.
Right.
And I've been, I had that armor on for so long that now I'm kind of like unarmoring myself and I'm peeling back layers. And I'm really discovering myself like on such a deeper level. Mm. And it's actually really enjoyable. It's so confronting, right? When you go into therapy and you're like, gosh, I didn't know I was like dealing with all this shit and like even childhood trauma and things that are coming up. I'm like, oh, that's why I was in this, because it was so familiar for me from this experience when I was young. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm trying to heal the inner Allie. I mean, we can go into all the things. But through therapy, it's like so healing now that I'm able to recognize why I feel a certain way around certain people or why I feel a certain way when I do certain things. And I'm like, oh, okay, well now at least I'm aware and I can recognize that and not carry it into my next relationship or friendship. Mm-hmm. Because I think those are just as valuable.
I'll tell you what, you're a beast. I'm processing all this right now.
You can just tell you're a warrior how you talk.
No, but I'm just saying like, I'm processing all this like, the timetable is right before you go on to win a championship too. Like that's crazy. You know what I mean?
Emotions.
Like, yeah. The emotion of getting to a final already, you know it's your last year, then you gotta throw that added layer on and somehow you still go out there wearing the armband, captain your team to success. Like, bro, I gotta,
but then,
like, it's crazy.
But then for me also, after the season, you know, you're not getting much time to take a breath and being like, okay, that was a lot what I went through, whether it was, you know, relationship-wise, whether it was career-wise, and it's like having that mental break, like for me, I needed 2 years away, you know, and then going straight from playing, now going to the TV side, still being around the game, and having the energy to like, to keep going. Because for me, it was like, I was burned out. I needed that time away to want it, to be around it again.
Right, yeah. Honestly, football helped me though, get through, because you know, I think I've always done this, and it's so familiar for me when I was young, dealing with my parents' divorce and everything. When I would play soccer and I would go out to the field, you don't have to think about anything else. You just like, you play free and you have fun and you just, that's the only thing you're focused on, so you can forget about everything else. And I've used that as a tool, which now I'm kind of having to unpack that a lot. Mm. Now, you know, having to deal, because I'm going to have an outlet somehow, and I had to figure that out, but football was always the outlet. And so I used that as an outlet. I was so busy with soccer and leading the team and winning a championship that I was just kind of putting everything else on the back burner. And now, like, in this moment, I'm having to now process everything and sit with everything. And so that's why it's been, you know, a difficult couple months. And I knew that when I got to the end, I was like, oh shit, I'm happy, but now I gotta deal with, the mess.
Yeah.
So I kind of pushed that aside and played one, thank goodness, put all my energy into that, literally, that and my kids. And then now I'm dealing with.
Are you like a gym person now? What do you do? I always wonder what professional athletes do when
she's
they suddenly
like.
Okay. I haven't worked out since the final, I'll tell you that. I needed my body to rest. My back was killing me, my knees were hurting. So I gave myself some time.
Do you remember when Mo was on a bicep plan? where he, the year after he was done, he had this like incredible chest and he couldn't fit through the door, but his legs were still the twigs, you know? Like, I was like.
It's like, hey, you look like Deontay Wilder.
You're skimming like that.
He was like the definition of top heavy. He was just coming through. I was like, yo, how,
this man's
how
exaggerating.
Much protein is this guy taking in? And the biceps were, you remember.
It's
you
exaggerating.
On, but you were on a kick.
I mean, you do things to keep yourself busy. And I just was like, man, I have nothing but time, so let me just.
Yeah.
And then you get into a routine. That's the biggest thing, was like just fighting a routine, a cadence of something that just kept me busy, kept me going. And so I was like, why not?
You're like Booker T coming.
That was so hard. Like not being an athlete.
It's all like neck bone, sucker.
Not being an athlete, but like the structure and the schedule and now I'm like, well, I have to make my own. Here. Like I don't, But I signed up for boxing.
Oh, and
Don't mess with me.
Hey.
Who are we taking in this fight?
Damn.
You're going to jump ship? Now nobody's Team K?
I didn't say anything about not being
Team K. I'll be
Team K
because I haven't learned one thing about how to throw
I've seen you work. Yeah. I've seen you hit that bag.
I know Malik got you, right?
Over the whole panel here. What you mean?
I see how you turn on your punches, okay?
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To be able to be elite at 39, though, right, you have to care in so many different areas. Now that you're retired, are you eating what you want? Are you, like, enjoying life?
Yeah.
You do?
I'm drinking what I want. And I'm like, going to like all these.
What were you drinking after y'all won? How much were y'all drinking?
You were talking about the going to the club earlier. That was the first time I've been to the club in like 15 years.
After the championship.
Yeah. Win. And I was like, oh my God, what am I doing up in this club? And there's like 20
year old. Did you feel old in the club when you
felt? No, I mean, I felt right at home. I was like, on night out. We had our medals on, and I had my boots on. We were just like
100% of the population here in our club.
No, we were like our Go Bats t-shirt.
But
I was like, this out of my way. Where's the VIP? No, I mean, we were like on stage. I mean, people had their goggles on still. I mean, it was like I was wearing my Go Bats shirt with my leather shorts and my boots, thinking I was just like Miss Thing. Buying drinks and doing all the stuff. They came out with the bottle service, you know, the lights and the, you know, the women. And it was just like, we were like living our best life. And I was like, okay, it's like 3:30, way past my 9 p.m. bedtime. We were feeling ourselves, having the best time. So that was the last time I've been to the club.
Are you on some type of diet? Like, are you
gluten-free,
vegan, any of that?
I'm really doing it all. I haven't really restricted myself at all. But soon I have to.
Charlie's been doing the same.
Charlie's on a free diet, meaning he's free from any restrictions.
What'd you make of the whole Women's World Cup experience? Because you won two. You watching this next generation.
Yeah.
Is it generation? Is it coaching? Is it,
you know, because Carly, are catching up.
I'm sure you saw Carly Lloyd's episode, and she was like, these youngins, they don't get it, basically.
She's always been that way. She said that about me, probably, when I came on the team. I always want to support our young players. It's not better or worse, it's just different. You can't really compare because everything in the environment changes. The culture, the mentality, the coaches, the players, the personnel, the formations. It's almost like your experience is obviously going to be very different. The mentality is going to be very different because people grow up in different environments and cultures. And it's like you can never compare. It's hard. Yeah. Do I think we could have won? Of course. We have the best players in the world. Do I think the coaching probably could have been better? The leadership probably could have been better? Yeah, of course. But you never know what people are going through in those times. And also, I don't want to make excuses. Listen, like you can set, I think we obviously could have been better and set up for more success because our young players are so talented. But
do you feel completely comfortable in what you said? We have the best players. We, the U.S., have the best players in the world right now?
I think we do. I don't know necessarily if the best players for that tournament were chosen.
So you have the best players, but that might not have been the best team.
Yeah.
Selection.
And the best team doesn't always mean you have to have the best players on it. The best team is a good mix of personnel with leadership and different qualities. Sometimes, I don't know. It's obviously that coaching position and choosing a team is probably the most difficult thing. And I can't put myself in those shoes because I've never been there and I never want to do that.
Did you think that Emma Hayes was the right pick moving forward?
I do. I think she's going to be amazing. I don't think she's going to take any shit from any other players. And she's going to be like, listen, you got to prove yourself day in and day out. And if you don't, I'll just choose the next person that can. Mm-hmm. And I think all the entitlement might go out the window and people are going to have to roll their sleeves up and show up and do the work because they're not going to have any room to not be the best.
Mm-hmm. Is that the biggest quality that she's going to bring that's different than what was there previously? Like that fact that she can come in and have no fear, no qualms to say, nah, we're moving on from you?
Yeah, I also think like watching the team, I don't know, just watching it from just a fan supporter perspective, I wasn't sure if we had an identity. And, you know, a specific style that we were trying to go for. And that was really difficult for me to watch, because I knew it was there. I knew they just needed that leadership and that organization to bring it out of them. But I think that's what she has, too, that quality of knowing her identity of what she wants and what's expected and the roles and responsibilities along with what style and the personnel she wants. Mm-hmm. And so that is, I think, from the very beginning, from top down, you have to have as a leader.
So you're super optimistic about the direction that the program's going, the young players that are coming through. Obviously, you're closer to that than we are, right, in terms of seeing the current status of the players, but then also the younger player pool that's coming up.
Yeah, I am. I am excited for the younger players. I do think the mentality is a lot different. You can't really compare once again. It's just different. And it's going to take time through experience that helps. Like, I was also not a pro when I first came onto the team. And I had to sit my butt right on that bench. And Pia was like, listen, watch, even if you are, you know, maybe your qualities are different than Mitt's, that you still have to watch how she's a professional. Like, that's why she's out there. Is because she's more of a pro and you need to watch her and how she operates. And I was like, okay. And I sat my ass right down and I was like, I'm like ready to go. But that's how it was. And I was like, listen, I'm all ears and I'm like, watching her move and watching her play and how she like just navigates in the camp. And I was like, okay, this is what I need to do to succeed. And that was also helpful. I don't think that's what it is now.
Right.
A lot of the younger players, they come in, they're like, I'm the best of the best. I was just the best in my club. I was just the best in my high school. I was just the best wherever I was on the youth national team. And now I'm here and I'm like, I'm ready to start. Like, no, that's not how it works. You have to have the experience and be put in situations in order to grow and get better.
Because I hear that, right? And a part of it excites me.
Yeah.
Right? That these kids come in, these younger players come in, and they have that confidence already. Right. Because, as you said, normally that confidence comes from being humbled, and then you gain it from getting experience and having to, like, earn your stripes.
Right.
So do you think that responsibility lies with these younger players coming in to kind of humble themselves, or with the existing players there to kind of, like, hey, listen, this is what it means. I remember when I first came to the national team, it was like 8 players that were in ink already, and it was like a few of us just trying to scratch our name and just trying to scribble our name on the team sheet. You know what I mean? And straight away we came into the team and these guys humbled us. They kept us honest.
Well, I feel like it's a balance though. I agree with what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. But I also agree with the mentality of some of the players that are coming in like that, because you got to believe in yourself. You don't believe in yourself, nobody else.
For sure.
So you got to come in thinking, I'm gonna be playing, right?
For sure.
And it's up to you to fight when you're put in situations like, all right, you're going to come on as a sub. What are you going to do with your minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like fighting every day to become a starter and all that kind of
thing.
I think a lot of it comes from the coach, of creating a culture where you have to earn it, right? Through playing during the week. If you're performing, then you should be starting on the weekend and creating that type of atmosphere. But I think having that mentality of believing that you're the best, even though that you're a rookie coming in, but also you have to be humbled enough to, when you have situations that you just don't let it be like, man, I quit, I'm done, I need to go to a new club. Be like, I'm gonna show them what's up. Right, I'm gonna show them I'm getting to them.
But I ask you that question because the U.S. Women's National Team has had a decorated history of success, right?
Yeah.
When, even in comparison to the men's national team, it's always been, the women are here, we're chasing, trying to get on that same international recognition. So I ask that question that way because I'm saying, do you feel like, a lot of people pointed out coaching, that it was Vlatko who dropped the ball and this and that, but I'm saying, when you talk about a culture, I agree that a coach kind of can institute a culture, but I also think there's a responsibility on the players to carry on that tradition. And I use the example of when I came in because I had veteran players who straight away were like, look, you think you're some cool kid who knows how to do X, Y, and Z, but this is what it means to be on the national team. And so is that responsibility on the players? Is it on the coach? Like, where do you see that?
I see that on, okay, so I see that on the coach and the leadership to really set the tone. And that's like the first day that you walk into the first meeting. For example, Juan, when I walked into the first meeting for Gotham last season, after coming off of our worst season ever and being in last place, I was like, all right, let's see how he's gonna set the tone here and what's expected of us. And the first meeting right away, it was like, this is what we're doing, this is the plan, this is how we're gonna get there, this is what I need from you, and that's it. And if you can't do that, I'll find somebody who's gonna be able to do that. And even for me as a captain, like, and a veteran player with, you know, the experience I have, I didn't expect to step out on the field every single day. I knew I had to show up and perform because he was easily like, if you're not going to be doing your job, you're kicking the ball out of bounds. Like, I'm going to find, you know, someone else to fill your spot. So, like, just because I'm putting you in this position doesn't mean, like, you have a free ride.
Exempt. Yeah.
And so I think that stems from the leadership, and that is why we won. And going back to the national team, I'm saying to myself, thinking, okay, Vlatko has had maybe 4 or 5 years with this squad. Juan had 1 season, 8 months. He got us whipped into shape, and it stemmed from leadership, and it stemmed from expectations and roles and how, like, he wanted to play and how he wanted his team to look. And that's the difference. And I think that's why I go back to leadership and the quality of that and how it can really change a team.
Would you ever go into coaching?
Yeah, I would love to just be like a defensive coach, to be honest.
Okay.
Or like an assistant. I'm too nice to cut people. I'm like, listen.
You're a good cop.
You look great. Yeah. I love your hairstyle. You know, everything looks good. But like,
But I'm going to text you.
And I love your personality.
Get you off the team.
You're such a good teammate. But like,
you need
I'm
to
not
going to
keep you
us.
In the squad. Like, I would be like, okay, this is awful.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
We were talking about like those moments when you get cut, and it feels like for you certainly, that's a moment that has stuck with you. Like you remember it so very clearly, what you felt in that moment. Is that one of the worst moments as a soccer player that
for
you
sure.
can experience?
Yeah. Especially
when,
if
your name ain't on the list.
Well, I've never been cut,
the list,
so.
Your name be like, sure it's on there somewhere, and then you ain't on the list, bruh.
I have been cut really bad.
I've been cut really bad. She can't even relate.
No, I was cut really bad.
When were you cut?
I was kidding. No, I want to hear. I want to hear. I don't know. I'm like, back to me.
She can't relate.
Let me think of a story.
She can't relate with failure.
No, I want to hear what you had to say first. I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. No, I was just saying, like, the worst is when you're young. And, I mean, it never feels good to get cut throughout your whole life. But, like, to go and look at the list, like, when you're in regional camp or state team or trying to be national team, they say, who makes it? And you go look up your name. Surely they messed up looking around. And then, like, and then it's, like, dealing with, like, knowing that everybody you told that you were going to try out and also for yourself and, like, you know. But it's just fuel to your fire. It either makes you or breaks you. And for me, it was always like, all right,
when were
I'm going to show them. It's payback.
When were you
it's
cut?
It's going to be payback from way back.
When were you cut?
2017 from the national team. Devastating. For like no reason. I didn't even know what the reason was. They were inviting in young players and I was like, cool, like I'll see you in January. And like nothing, crickets. And I was like, okay, did we just break up? Like what's going on? You know, like when you don't get closure, you're just like, okay. You know, I never got closure and I was just like, okay, I guess I just have to, you know, make them like, I don't know. I just make it difficult for them to ignore me. Like, I was like, I want to be in 2019. I don't know why I'm not there. I feel like I could be there and help the team. And then all these younger kids were coming up. And then two months before World Cup, the last camp, I got a call back. 2 years later, a year and a half later, 2 years later, yeah, 2019. I got cut in 2017, and then I came back in 2019. Right before
that has
World
to
Cup.
Feel like
the
weird,
last camp.
Weird though, right? Because you're so excited that you get the call, but you're also like filled with resentment that, hey, why didn't you call me all this time?
Right, but I had sat on the phone. I said, listen, I don't want to talk about the past. I am in such a new, like, I'm in a new space. I'm in, like, I'm so motivated. What do you need from me? I'm there. Like,
okay.
I'm ready to help this team win.
And so, that was how you genuinely felt?
That's how I genuinely felt. Back in my mind, I was like, I'm gonna talk about this later, but you know, like, no, I was like, this is, I'm in a different space, and I like don't, what's the point of talking about that? Like, I'm 2 years later, it's like, all right. I said, what do you need from me? I'm ready to help you win and the team win, so like, let me know.
Do you think you found it hard to forgive Jürgen for when he cut you? I remember you telling me the story about how it happened, and you kind of you saw that it was coming, and you were like, "How do I want to avoid this situation?"
I was trying to like go back and do extra work.
It was like Matrix. He tried to.
The way it happened for us was we were at our camp was at Stanford, and we were in like two different groups doing whatever regeneration. Yeah. One group was in the gym, and we're walking back down to the facility, and you can as we're walking down this hill, it's like a pretty steep hill, and Jürgen is at the in front of the training ground or a training facility. And I see him talking to another player. It's one-on-one. And I'm just casually talking to whoever I'm talking to, watching it happen. And then I see them kind of like shake hands and the player walk away. You can tell body language, right? And I'm like, hold on, what's happening here?
There was
no discussion that this was going to be happening.
But you knew.
But I knew he was cut. I knew this guy, he's leaving camp the way that their exchange ended. So I'm like, damn, that sucks for him. That ain't about to be me. So I'm just minding my business, just still talking. Yeah. Jürgen's like there as we're getting closer. I'm like, I ain't going that direction. And he's like, hey, Mo, let me talk to you. Straight away, I was like, oh, damn. All right, well, yeah. And so that's how it played out. And so, of course, I'll never forget it because...
It was like in passing?
He was just like, hey, let me talk to you real quick, you know? And
did he give you like a congrats? Like,
what?
Kind of like opposite,
was there any positivity in that conversation? Or was like...
What positivity can you take from me?
Like, keep going. I think you've done well.
Bro, who wants to hear that?
Right. I know.
It was just more.
Was there anything?
I'm like, you need me more than I need you, honey.
You're the opposite.
I'm opposite in terms of like, man, any of those situations happen, boy, that's resentment, straight up. Ooh, I ain't even lying. Like, let's talk about my last games with the national team. Like, I went from, you know, coming back from two heart procedures, making an impact, I thought, in games. And, you know, whether it was goal or assist, my numbers next to other people's numbers was up there or better. And I felt towards the end, it was like I was a super sub. And then especially at the very end, he came up to me after the Trinidad thing. And he's like, hey, Bruce came up to me. He's like, man, I really appreciate you going out there and giving your all. And I'm like, the fuck you mean? Every time I go out there and give my all, like, I felt like I could have made a difference. Like, you put me in after it was 2-0, and then come on and try to save the situation. And so it's like, I've always, since then, boy, I felt a certain type of way. If you text me, I ain't texting back. Straight up.
So if you saw
right
day,
now.
To this day.
That's
just how I feel. Unless we have a conversation and it's cool, that's how I feel.
Hey, Bruce might text him, right?
But also, like.
I ain't gonna lie, he texted me after it. I didn't text back because I'm just that hurt. I'm that upset about it because it's like us not qualifying for the World Cup, that cut me deep. That's something that mattered to me. I just felt I deserved to end it a certain way, that my last game is a damn away game in Trinidad, and all I got was, hey, thanks for going out and trying, and being one of the only ones that, you know, gave it their all. It's like, that's what I always did. I came back from 2 heart procedures. I'm doing it because this matters, but that's just how I felt.
Have you had situations like that personally where you felt unvalued by a coach?
Absolutely. When I got cut in 2017, I definitely didn't feel valued or appreciated in that moment. But I couldn't take that personally. It's so hard not to, right? Mm-hmm. Not every coach is going to value what you bring. You just have to keep proving yourself on the field and make an impact. And it's difficult when you go through that mentally, right? And you're just like, F you, you know, like I'm showing up for the team, but I'm also like making you look good, winning World Cups and things. So it's hard,
Do you have a lowest moment and a highest moment in football?
Lowest
moment. There's a few highs
then.
For you. I just wonder which is the one that you say.
Lowest. I'll start with the lowest would be, maybe getting cut. And then I guess my ACL injury, 2012, when we were winning like 7-0 against Dominican Republic. I think it was Dominican Republic. And then they end up going to London and they win gold medal and I like wasn't a part of that. And that was right after 2011 World Cup. So it was like, you know, I thought I was playing the best football. So like getting that injury was devastating. And then getting cut. And then the good times, I mean.
So where do I start?
I'm like, do we have another hour? I didn't bring my sleepy bag. I think the World Cups and then ending my career recently on the stage, confetti falling, like
kids are there.
In the year that I had. I think that was probably like the most special. Like Midge told me this too, like you completed football.
That's and a pretty dope thing for someone to say. That's an incredibly privileged position to be in, to feel
really
like
is.
I achieved everything I wanted to achieve in this game.
But earned.
I did.
When's the book coming out then? Because, I mean, you...
I'm working on that.
Are you?
The story's not done.
I do want to write a book.
Okay.
Very cool. New phase.
We appreciate your honesty and your candidacy. It's been very cool talking to you. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's enjoyable to sit with you all, too. I feel safe and comfortable and expressing, you know, parts of my life.
Listen, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to meet you.
Me too.
Thanks for the time. Oh, you thought I was done? Oh, my God. No.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.